We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. Remember to go to simplyg.com. We are thechallenge.com and soon beachlifestyle.com. And I'm really excited first to welcome the program because my co-host is, AWOL today. And I want to welcome the program, Jared. Jared's my other co-host. Jared, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, and wow, what an exciting interview we are going to have for our listeners today.
Well, Jared, you're now finally getting the celebrities. Before, it was a situation where, you know, you were just interviewing education people, and I remember back in the day we had those celebrities. Now we're getting them again, so I want to welcome the program Brenda Villa, gold medalist from 2012 Olympics in London in your water polo. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure. Thank you for, you know, asking me to call in and to give me a chance to talk about the sport that I love and the foundation that I started.
Well, absolutely. I'm excited to talk about it as well and how we can help later on to talk about it. But tell us a little bit about your background. I understand you've been in the Olympics a few times, so tell us a little bit about your background, then we'll get to your Project 2020.
So I'm a four-time Olympic medalist. I have two silver medals, a bronze medal, and finally the gold this past summer in London. I grew up in a little city, City of Commerce, which is bordering East Los Angeles. I, you know, got a full scholarship to attend Stanford University, and I've traveled the world, and all of this is possible because my mom signed me up for swim lessons at a very young age in a city that sponsors all athletic sports for its residents. So I had an opportunity early on in my career, or in my life, I guess, and I took advantage of it, and it's led me to a lot of wonderful things.
Well, what I think is really exciting about that, Brenda, is because the fact is that water polo, you would have, when you were growing up, I don't think you thought that water polo was going to be, I guess, your opportunity to change people's lives from it. And it's so amazing to think that sport. I'm sure when you were a kid, you weren't thinking about you were going to be a gold medalist in water polo.
No, not at all. My parents grew up in Mexico, immigrated to the U.S. The only sport that they know is not even soccer. They know football, you know. So water polo for them was like, are you kidding? The water? What? But I'm thankful that my mom didn't know how to swim, and she wanted her kids to learn. So that's how it all started.
And then you discovered it. So let's talk a little bit about why you started Project 2020. What gave you that motivation to do this?
Well, I have been given so much by my city because it has sponsored youth sports my whole life. And I know without that support, there is no way that I would probably be involved in an aquatic sport. It seems that aquatic sports are a luxury nowadays. It costs a lot of money to be involved in them, and I think mainly because it costs a lot of money to run pools. So a lot of cities don't have the money to run pools, so they shut down. So for me, it's a way of giving back and to display all my gratitude that I have for the city. And earlier you were talking about celebrities, and it's weird to be classified under that, you know, from the city that I come from, but I want to be able to use that platform to give other girls like me the opportunity.
Well, and think about it. And gold medalists are—it's such an unbelievable honor to be a gold medalist, and you have to really utilize that to your advantage to help get your Project 2020 going. So, Jared, pretty amazing her background, where she came to become a gold medalist, right, Jared?
Absolutely amazing, and I talk about living the American dream. Parents immigrated to the United States. Brenda has the advantage to start a sport like, take up a sport like swimming and carry it to the ultimate dream. And again, on our show, we always talk about providing children with opportunities. And Brenda, it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing with your foundation.
Yes, I've recently have teamed up with Menlo Swim and Sport, which is a company that runs these two pools in Menlo Park, California. And this April 1st, we started our program reaching out to communities that are very similar to the community that I grew up in. And we have 27 girls signed up that have never heard of water polo before. I showed up in their schools or at their parents' meetings, like, hey, try out for water polo. So it's really great that communities are embracing this new sport and are trying new things. And I think a lot of parents are looking for things for their girls to participate in that can help them in life.
Absolutely, Brenda. And I think that what you learn is that they learn about a sport, but you're doing more than that. You're trying to mentor them as well, right, Brenda?
Yes. Yes. And for me, it's not just about sports, but sports can be a tool that you use. And for me growing up, it was always like, if you don't have your homework done, you can't go to the pool. So, you know, it was something that helped my mom get me to do. And I was just very competitive, so I'm like, oh, I want to get A's in school, and oh, I want to be the best on the water polo team. So, yes, the underlying factor in all this is I want to mentor these girls and show them that they can use sports to help them learn so many life skills.
And so, Brenda, I'm going to jump in here because I know Neil has so many questions, but I want to jump in here. When did you know, at what point in your life, during your athletic career, did you know that it was time to give back? When did that happen for you?
Oh, my. I would say probably immediately after my first Olympics. I mean, the city that I grew up in, there's maybe population 12,000, 13,000 people, and coming back from the Olympics, it's not like you have that many Olympians coming out of Commerce. So coming back and, you know, talking to parents and parents asking me about college, and at this point I was already at Stanford, so I was almost like an instant role model after that. And that's something, I mean, you don't grow up to be a role model. It's just something that kind of happens. And I knew then that I needed to be a resource for a lot of these parents and for a lot of these kids, because not that many people before me had done what I was doing, going to school on a scholarship or even attending college and, you know, being a part of a national team. So I knew then that I needed to give back.
And it sounds like it, and that I think that's great. And I think education's important as well. Going to a great school like Stanford, I'm sure that you're telling the girls now, you know, especially if you are very talented in this, really education is the key.
Yes, and the beauty of women's water polo right now is that it's growing, and there's so many different universities that are offering opportunities, so I tell the girls, if you don't see yourself dedicating your whole life to water polo, like I have, that's fine. You don't need to. But please, if it could help you, you know, get into a school or, you know, look straight on your application, or if it could help you pay for school, do it. And if you can leave your little city, leave California, go for it. There's so many schools out there. So, yes, not everyone has to dedicate their whole life to a sport.
Now, Brenda, Neil knows that I always ask the tough questions, the questions that are hard to hitting, difficult to answer, and I'm going to give you one right now. Exactly what is going on under that water?
you know, that's a popular question, and what I always say is, if you can't see what's going on, then nothing's going on underwater, right? No, there's a lot of jockeying for position. You know, a lot of people think it's such a violent sport, but I try and, you know, I'm trying to get young girls to play this sport. And I'm like, if it was that violent, do you really think my mom would have allowed me to play? But, you know, there's some suit grabbing, just like any other sport. You kind of tug on jerseys. I think because spectators can't see what's going on in the water, it like creates this illusion that it's just, you know, dangerous under there. But nothing too bad. I mean, a couple, occasional kick, occasional grab here and there.
So you're probably telling our listeners to just take it as it's just as nice as synchronized swimming.
No, there's a little more contact, but
okay.
Well, okay, Brenda.
You've got to be a great swimmer.
So when we're thinking about, I guess, the organization, Project 2020, you said you also involve a lot of helping them through different things. And the kids that you're working with, are they at-risk youth girls or in the communities you've been working with so far? Like you said, where you...
So right now we are based out of, I guess we're trying to reach girls and or the youth in the San Francisco Peninsula, and a lot of it is underserved communities. So, I mean, I'm not really sure what at-risk would mean, but, you know, they come from communities where their parents are immigrants themselves, you know, English is their second language, and we're just trying to give them another opportunity and eliminate the barrier, the financial barrier. And I think that's why a lot of minorities don't try the sport of water polo or swimming. And statistics show that you're three times more likely to drown if you're a minority in a lower income area.
So
we want to eliminate.
Right. And so teaching swimming is part of the process of getting in water polo. Some of the girls probably can't swim at first, right?
Exactly.
Then I think
yes.
And that's such a great skill to have, especially for exercise and fighting obesity. Wouldn't you agree, Jarrett?
Absolutely. We stress all the time, opportunity, opportunity, and opportunity. A child doesn't know how to swim. A child doesn't have the resources to have private swim lessons, get to a swimming pool within their community, if there even is one. And yet here is Brenda providing that opportunity and providing a lifestyle, a fit lifestyle.
Yes, an active lifestyle.
So tell me specifically, I guess, a day at when you're working with your foundation, when they go to a certain school to get kids to sign up to be involved in this. What's the daily routine of a practice and how you're kind of organizing this with the girls?
So before this year, because now that I'm a retired Olympic athlete, I have a little more time. But before that, it was a summer-only program where we reached out to a couple different boys and girls clubs in the community, and we offered free swim lessons / water polo lessons. And swimming is a gateway to water polo, but we find that a lot of kids would rather play a team sport, so it's more engaging for them or to recruit them if we say water polo. So, I mean, some of them know how to swim a little bit, but not too much. So now we're trying to transition into trying to make it a year-round program. And with that, I've been to a couple community schools, schools in the community, middle schools, because I'm targeting kids in middle school, so maybe ages 8 to 14, because I think the younger we can get them involved, the easier it would be to train them into this active lifestyle and to get them to love the sport. And I go to these schools, I tell them my story, I share my medals with them, and I hope that they come to the pool and find out more information. And we have a couple of different, there's another foundation called Beyond Barriers Athletic Foundation that subsidizes some of the programming at the pool that I work at. So they need a lot of different sources to help make this happen, because it's such a high-cost sport, and to try and keep the cost low, we need a lot of help. But recently we started our practices. We practice an hour and a half, two times a week. So I have two different groups of girls that come in. Some girls come in Monday, Wednesday. Other girls come in Tuesday, Thursday. And we're still looking to do a lot of recruiting this summer, where we do offer the free one-time lesson, kind of come to the pool, don't be afraid, get in. We can direct you in the right direction. So Project 2020 is in a transition, but we really want to make it a year-round program, make it a club team, make it, you know, teams usually turn into, like, families. So that's what we want to create.
I think that's tremendous. Wouldn't you agree, Jarrett?
Absolutely. Brenda, you mentioned one of my favorite organizations when you said the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. What a wonderful group, what a wonderful organization, and everything they provide, and how awesome it is that you're teaming with organizations like that, because they really are they're on the front lines meeting the needs of so many young people.
Yes, so we all put in, you know, a little bit. I think the kids will benefit. So we've got to work together.
And hey, Brenda, I'm going to ask you a tough question. Where do you keep your medals?
Well, I usually keep them in a sock jar. And right now they're separated. I have the gold medal. My parents have the silvers and the bronze. So hopefully they'll be reunited soon.
All right. Well, one thing we do on this show, especially for the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment, is ask what your 90-day challenge is. What do you want to accomplish in the next 90 days involving your foundation or your health?
Oh, good question. I think now that I'm not an active, I guess, Olympic athlete, I really need to get into a structured workout routine. So I think in the next 90 days, I need to make sure that I work out, 80 of those days?
All right, okay.
That sounds pretty structured to me.
No, but I need to, either it's going to be boot camp, it's going to be spinning, it's going to be swimming. Like, I just need to get into a routine where Monday through Friday, there's some activity written down that I'm going to do because I need to sweat a little more. And I think with Project 2020, I think we're at 27 girls. I would love to have 50 girls. I would love to have the problem where I have too many girls and I'm scrambling to get them in the pool or get them instruction or get them, you know, services. So I think one would be to get 50 girls involved and I guess to do a little fundraising. All of this can't be possible without fundraising. So I'm hoping that I can, I guess, fundraise maybe $20,000 in the next 90 days.
All right. Well, I know that my business partner, GJ, who I was saying was AWOL, I'm just kidding, G, don't get mad at me on that, that basically he would love to help out your foundation. He is part of Mission G, so I'll make sure that my team, my PR director, gets in touch with your publicist so that you can get on a call with him to talk to him about how he can help your foundation. So we'll definitely do that. But for our listeners out there who want to help out and donate to the foundation, where can they find information?
We have a website, so they can go to www.project2020.wibbly.com. So they can ask for information there with 501c3 status. They can donate there as well.
Well, Brenda, it was fantastic, and I definitely we're going to stay in touch. We'll definitely have you back on. And when your fundraiser's set up, we're going to be part of it. We're going to be helping promote it, whatever we can do to help. And if you need to help get certain celebrities, we do it. We have that ability as well. So we'll definitely have some dialogue and stay in touch.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care, Brenda. See ya. Okay.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment, and we'll be back in just a moment.